This is Peter Chung, the creator of Yon Flux.
I'm Peter Gaffney. I wrote Chronophagia.
I'm Howard Baker, and I'm the director of Chronophagia.
And I'm Jaffet Asher, the executive producer of the series.
Well, I guess I'll start by talking a little bit about the origin of this episode. The idea for it came from Garrett Sheldrew, who was one of the animators who worked on the Liquid TV shorts and was a big part of the visual development of Eon Flux. He did most of the animation in the war episode. He also did actually a fair amount of layout in the Eon Flux 12-minute pilot. He had an idea for a story in which Eon Flux has to confront the consequences of her personality by realizing that she may have tendencies that she can't control. And I think this was an attempt to show a side of her that we don't normally see. And it also takes place in a completely different environment than we're used to seeing her in. I was just really very so grateful to Garrett for all of the work that he'd done on the show that I just said, you know, go with it, do what you want. As it turned out, however, we ran into some resistance with MTV because they thought that the original premise submitted by Garrett was had too much blood in it. And I think then we passed it on to Peter Gaffney, the story editor, and I think he
took it in a slightly different direction. I think the big baby is really the one of the main components I kept from the original premise. It contains a lot of red herring philosophical and other references. There's at one point the boy quotes from the Diamond Sutra. It's slightly elongated with other references, but all composite things are like a dream, like a fantasy, and we added like an ice cream sundae, there's also a reference which was we picked up on by the fans to the origin of consciousness and the breakdown of the bicameral mind by Julian Jaynes, a theory about how human consciousness evolved, but I sort of felt free to just throw in these things because everything that happens is not exactly real. So you don't have to take anything, any particular moment you either can or not take too seriously. And I'm not sure what's reality here, or maybe I know.
Yeah, in fairness, I think Peter Gaffney had an unusual opportunity to take some diverse elements and turn them into an unusual story, which had no particular boundaries, and he created some new and distinct and different ones. It went from being too gory to being wildly intellectual. And yeah, of course, fortunately, we also have Howard's direction to keep us from the brink.
Well, and in putting this together for me and my own looking for my own themes, and this is a great scene where Eon is having to trust her own instincts to actually tell a little boy to turn around and stop looking at her naked. And whereas usually that might not be her true instincts, and the little boy is bringing out a personality in Eon that even she's surprised to see, and there's a certain tenderness that gets created in Eon here. And going back to looking for my own themes, I was trying to, you know, figure out what the baby meant for me and what the little boy meant for me, the big baby, and what was Trevor looking for exactly. And I guess I always thought that everyone in this world, depending on what you do, the choices that you make, you may not be doing the things that you were supposed to be doing, that, you know, you were put here on Earth or wherever it is you were put to do. And this is this whole show to me is about Eon's sort of subconscious coming forward and saying, look at what you've been doing. Maybe this isn't really the person that you're supposed to be.
Yeah, each of her episodes here is she tries to figure out what's the right thing to do. How do I get this to stop? I mean, it's I guess it's a lot like Groundhog Day, really.
Yeah, but I think this was before. Was this before Groundhog Day?
In fact, Groundhog Day was actually based on this.
in the original story, she kept waking up from a recurring nightmare, or she thought it was a nightmare, and she was in a pool of blood, which wasn't her own. And it was very much a horror. A horror genre story, but
MTV kept pulling back on the amount of blood that we were allowed to show, and until finally we've got this sort of gray stuff that I just saw some
mysterious
idea.
Black yeah. liquid. Yeah, I'd be interested to know where the blood was supposed to come from myself.
Yeah.
Well, the blood was supposed to come from the victim of whoever it was who was killing the people who were shedding the blood. And the person who you thought was responsible for it kept, in the subsequent dream, would die. And you would find out that, it wasn't who she thought it was. And through a process of elimination, she finds out that, she begins to suspect that it's her.
So here's Ian waking up in the aren't pools of huge pools of blood, and of course this is the as she sees all the doorways here. I suppose that's a symbolism of taking which doorway, which path.
Right, exactly. Choosing your making your own choices in the life that you lead.
Yeah. I really wanted this to open, and it did with a real action scene, like out of a real action movie type thing, because it turns so into something so different from that.
This sequence was actually boarded by Garrett, who created the original idea for this episode, and he, in his boarding, I think out of the entire shows that I directed, he ended up rewriting all the dialogue to sort of get to a new, higher place. And, I just sort of was sitting there watching it happen and just listening to him and trying to play catch up the entire time. And I do love how much Eon hates Trevor in this sequence.
Yeah, it's interesting. Naturally, I'd prefer to be dead. There's some funny dialogue here, too.
Yeah, and the whole sort of feeding sequence overpowering this idea of what is reality.
Is that your current project? As usual, Eon, you only have half. Yeah, I love her. I love the look on her face as he feeds her.
Yeah, I think this is one of the better drawn episodes. I think that Eon in particular has a very sensual manner to her, and especially with her hair down. But I think Garrett's storyboard drawings are very sensitive, and they're so expressive that I think it probably inspired the animators to make that extra effort to preserve the feeling in the storyboards. Ever since we've been missing a
part of ourselves. I think your chef uses too much tarragon.
Hard to say where the mutation occurred. In the virus or in the human mind. So I'm I myself am actually not sure conversation of what they are trying to do keeps shifting.
But there's this sort of ongoing theme of this virus, this vial.
Which contains the antidote or the the secret to human happiness or something.
There's always been sort of rumors circulating that there is some drug reference in this episode, which...
Well, the drug reference is in every episode.
Yes, well, you know, having said that, therefore,
finally.
I think it's important to be clear that all the episodes are drug-infused except this one.
Yes. Well, and I think Trevor and Eon are in completely opposite spectrums in this, and that Eon's in throughout this episode constantly questioning him. From the very beginning, she's asked, where are you, and who are you, and where is this place? And Trevor's consistently saying, I know everything. I've got the answers to everything, and which is why Eon is given the opportunity to make choices to go down different caves and go to different places, whereas Trevor seems to be like heading into things with so much knowledge that he ends up never getting anything he wants.
Oh, the Waker sweeps. You have to tell me what happened here.
Nothing happened.
And I think is this the only actual kid actor we had for the whole series?
Well, with a major part.
We did have some for in smaller parts. Mm-hmm. Like in The Purge, we had some kid actors. Actually, I never met this actor because I wasn't there at the recording.
And of course, the boy is not really a child. I mean, he's probably the oldest person.
Yeah, possibly.
Right, he's been there forever, right?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, right.
There's really no certainty about anything that happens in this.
All we know is the baby's coming. I think
this is what happens when the creators mystify themselves.
Yeah. So I'm sorry for you people who've been waiting all these years hear some. Astonishing revelations to the meaning of
this episode,
the structure of the story.
But nothing can be said. It's so perfectly itself that it transcends any description.
Well,
of
it does put you. It puts the viewer very much in the position of Eon herself, who is
confused.
Who is having to read into her circumstance? You know what solution makes the most sense? And I think in a way that is sort of, to me anyway, what makes these shows so good for repeat viewing.
Yeah, well, I think going all the way back to the shorts that we did for Liquid Television, the very, very beginning and all the way through, you know, your work has always been about narrative and visual puzzles, to me. And this is another example of that in a very open-ended kind of way.
Well, there's a tendency, I think, if you're telling a story about a subject which is itself complicated and ambiguous, but you're doing it in a clear way, is that ambiguity gets ascribed to the filmmaking, even though it's not in the filmmaking. I mean, you can tell a story very clearly about something which is ambiguous.
And it remains ambiguous.
And when, yes.
It cannot be otherwise.
But there was always the debate, the ongoing debate I always had with MTV was they always stressed linearity, and that's always the word that they used, was linear storytelling.
Yeah.
And to me, I really have no interest either in making a story that's linear or even watching one, because to me, life isn't linear. I mean, things rarely end up where you think they're going, and the process of getting there always transforms the goal.
Yeah, I think to me, mystery novels are so much fun to read up until the end, because the solution to the mystery is never worth, you know, is never satisfying, because the solution to the mystery of life is not available to us, and that's what you're really hoping for. Oh, and here's the scene where Ian wakes up in the pool of blood, but which is not blood.
And going back to that linear idea too, this show, I think, works much more metaphorically. And I think throughout the linear storytelling, everything we were doing, I know that I was always trying to put some secondary meaning on everything. And after looking at these shows for so many years, I look at them now going, well, I'm not really sure I remember what I was trying to say within my metaphor, but I do know that I was thinking a lot about that kind of stuff. You know, what's underneath this?
Well, a lot of the time structure in these episodes, instead of being linear, is circular or cyclical.
Yeah, especially definitely. In this episode, yeah.
And events occur and reoccur, but with variations. And it is another way. I mean, I think that our own lives are more circular than they are linear, because we have the cycles of the day, the year, and we repeat the same routines of sleeping and waking up. And, you know, the cycle of birth and death is a cycle. And
I think that's also true in the mind, because, you know, we relive things in memory. And as we relive them, you know, details adjust, things change. So we keep repeating an experience, and each time as we revolve through it, we shift our sense of...
As well as we like to think of the future a lot of the times, too, and it, like Ian here, trying to set herself up for who she's supposed to be for all time and all being, and this show is letting her question that, you know, am I going to be the person in the future that I think I'm going to be based on my actions today?
And she's doing all that in an extraordinary pair of underwear.
Given to her by an 8-year-old.
I'm always surprised looking at the internet forums on this, when some of the things that people have found in this episode, which I think are completely valid, but which I had never considered, you know, at least not in the, you know, consciously as it was being done. And I think that's the fun of something like this, that does feel like it has a life of its own.
A lot of the decisions that you make while you're writing and directing these, really the needs of the character kind of take over. And you just say, well, what would Ian do in a situation like this? And she does start to drive the narrative, and it eliminates certain options. And that is the thing that I'm proudest of about this show, is that, you know, I really feel like Ian is a true character with dimension, which is
with a life of her own,
with an interior life, which is so rare in animation.
Well, and I think her interior life is stronger than her exterior life. I think it's harder for me to pinpoint, say, well, Ian lives in this house and drives this kind of car and has this kind of dog for a pet. But it's much more easy for me to think about how she thinks and what's going on in her head, you know, as opposed to the outwardly sort of obvious stuff.
Yeah,
and she's not always right. She makes mistakes.
Yeah.
She gets preoccupied by things that draw her away from her original mission and intent.
She's more probably likely to make the wrong choice.
Yeah. I mean, both these characters have their sort of, you know, tragic flaws in a way, but I'm not sure that they're tragic.
Okay, but I think this is the amount of blood which MTV finally approved.
Yeah, the one drop of blood.
Here it comes.
Which now... And it's,
even she's shocked.
Yeah. That's all?
Composite things are like dreams, fantasies, bubbles.
This sequence was a nightmare for the character designers.
Oh, yeah. I came out costumes. Terrifically, I think. But, yeah, it must have been. Yes, this is the elongated quote from the Buddhist Diamond Sutra.
But the fashion show is probably something you're
dying to get back into.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like she's just given up at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. What? There's nothing you can do. There's no way out of the
right.
And I think that's obviously the way we all feel a lot in so many circumstances. Of like,
and even
you feel
there,
like
that's
you're
the
repeating.
Right. And the vial is meaningless too. That.
Yeah. And this, of course, really explains everything.
Well, yeah, that's futility is actually one of the major themes of the shorts, when she repeatedly died.
And this is a complete mystery to all of us because
I think this is. I just wanted us to all to see that you know Aeon existed in everywhere. She didn't just exist in this crazy place, but she also could live in a normal world if she had chosen to.